tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock at 3:03 on your Thursday. Everything's a little backwards this afternoon. Bear is joining via remote. Marcus is doing the bear thing. I forgot my headphones because I'm driving my wife's car today, so I'm wearing somebody else's headphones, and it just sounds a little different, you know? That's kind of like, there's just all these little things, but sometimes that's good. That usually makes for a good show because I get in a rut a lot of times, and it's like shaking things up, different lineup, different pair of headphones. You never know. Maybe that'll be the key, the catalyst, if you will, to a really good show. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Not doing too bad. Feeling a little rough.
Yeah?
Yeah. This first time I've been sick in a long time.
I told you, I think it's good for you. It's you had a good streak going, but, I mean, you can't just, like, not be sick forever. Like, you got to go out there and get a little cold every now and then. It's good for your body, man. Practice on the germs. Get your immune system working.
I don't know about being good for my body. Not the way I feel right now. I feel like I've been beat with a fungo bat.
Well, you can take the day off, you know. That's fine. And Marcus and I, we got this. We can do the thing.
I'm fine. You trying to get rid of me, Russ?
No.
Okay. That was a long pause, Russ.
I was trying to think of something smart-ass to say, but I don't want to hurt Bear's feelings this early in the show. And he's sick, so I'm going to be – it's a kinder, gentler Russ to start the show.
I mean, I could have come in, but I'm following the drive rules. If you think you might be contagious, stay home.
This isn't numb. There are rules, there are protocol to be followed in all times. Big show lined up this afternoon. Christopher Gabriel coming up by popular demand, 3:20 in about 15 minutes, the CGP. And then in hour number two, Jesse Smithy from Five Star Preps is going to stop by. And Bear, help me out here. Who are the East Tennessee teams besides my West Rebels playing for a little gold ball in Chattanooga this week?
I believe that would be Alcoa,
mm-hmm.
Anderson County.
That's the one I was missing. AC.
Yeah. Is that it?
I believe so. What level is Anderson County? Are they 5?
I think they're 4A, aren't they?
4A.
What's West? 5?
I think they're 5. I don't know. It's so dumb, isn't it? The classifications, they're always changing.
Yeah, there's way too many, and it was a big money grab by the TWSAA.
It's an outrage.
There are way too many classifications. So, but yeah, I got tons of stuff.
How many
ask,
classifications should Jesse there be in Tennessee high school football?
4 or 5.
Maybe I think 4 max. Like, I think you could honestly do 3 and be fine.
Yeah, I don't know about 3, man. There's a huge difference between, because then you're talking about having a school like Austin East playing, for example, you know, a Farragut.
I mean, what are the population differences? I don't think it's that much. I mean, Alcoa has just dominated 2A and 3A for so long.
I mean, all that stuff's based on your enrollment. And then in the private school divisions, they add multipliers to them, so
I don't think there's call for 5. But what do I know? They didn't ask me, and I'm beginning to think
we could ask Jesse about it.
(laughs) 865-546-8200 Your number to get on the show this afternoon. You learn things about our audience as we go. We learn things about, you know, we're always studying what's next. How do we attract more listeners? How do we continue to grow the brand, they say, as Japan equalizes with Spain at the World Cup? I don't know what that means. I think Spain's already through. I don't know what it means for Japan. They won earlier. They beat, who did they upset? They upset somebody, oh, right?
Yeah, let me pull it up.
Oh, and then they cleaned the stadium up after it, didn't they?
Do what?
Japan. The fans cleaned the stadium after they got done that upset win.
It seems like something they do.
Yeah.
You feel like Japan and Germany since World War II, they're like bending over backwards, trying to be good. Trying
what,
to win
the
back.
Horror they unleashed on the rest of the world for, I don't know. The old man told me never give a German an armband and a gun. They'll be in Paris by tomorrow.
So they lost to Croatia. It looks like the last game they played 1-0. But they also beat the Germans 2-1. That may be what
that's it. Yeah, that's who they beat. Okay.
Yeah, the Axis powers.
Japan versus Germany. Yeah, that was right. Yeah. That's a clash. Oh, man, where was I? Oh, yeah, our listeners, we're always studying our listeners, trying to figure out how to grow the brand, how to get bigger, how to reach more people. And the Twitter polls are always a big part of it. We learn about people. Yesterday, I don't know what we learned about our audience yesterday with this poll. It's interesting, though. We asked the question, we're talking about the World Cup and Christian Pulisic's testicles, which apparently he has come out and said he has definitively said it was not a testicular injury. I believe the direct quote was, "It's not my balls."
Well, he got incredibly lucky then.
But we were under the impression yesterday that it was, in fact, his balls. And we asked the question. We put the poll in the field. Over 1,400 of you responded. What if you had to endure one of these injuries, which would you choose? A concussion or a ruptured testicle? And we learned something about you, Fan Run Nation. We learned something about our audience, at least the male portion that responded yesterday. I'm sure there were a couple of ladies that respond because it's Twitter polls. And who can resist a Twitter poll? I respond to all of them. I don't care if I see a Twitter poll that's like, what is, I don't know, like, what do you like? I don't know. Like, it doesn't matter. Anything. I will respond to it. Just that's I
oh,
consider
even if
my
it's
civic
one of those
duty.
Ones where
I have to do it.
Where all the answers are the same. I'm the same way. It's like compulsive.
93.9% of respondents yesterday said they would rather have a concussion than a ruptured testicle.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you phrase it that way, sure.
What do
you mean,
I
had something different in mind. I was thinking more like one of those train wreck NFL hits, like the one Vontaze Burfict put on Antonio Brown that's made him clinically insane pretty much since then. You know.
I've thought about it long and hard. I'm going with the testicle, man. And I guess age plays into this. Younger guys, single guys, probably they're like, oh no, man, I'll take the, like, I need my balls. But like, I'm 42, I've had two kids, like, I'm good. I can make it with just one. And just because it's a ruptured testicle doesn't necessarily mean it won't heal. It could go well. I'm looking at the rest of my life, man. I want to be able to watch sports and know what the heck is going on.
You don't want to be drooling in your oatmeal, man.
Absolutely. What good is two working
testicles? That's what I was saying.
What good is two working testicles if you don't know how to use them? You don't know what's going on. Look at Jim McMahon.
You and your boys have had a pretty good run.
Yeah, we've had a good run. Had a lot of fun together.
See, part of it for me, though, is the idea of how are you going to have the rupture? Because I feel like that's going to be very
painful.
How
are you
going to
have the concussion?
What do you mean, how are you going to have a rupture? I mean, that's like... It's like the whole, what's that guy's name? John, the comedian, John Mulaney. There's a horse, that whole bit he did on the horse being loose in the hospital. You have a rupture, buddy. The horse is loose in the hospital. Who cares how it got in there? We're way past that now. Your balls just exploded, Marcus.
I'm just saying, like, is it Ndamukong Suh stepping on them? Or is it, like, you know, just a random explosion? I don't know. Like, I just...
Well, what would you rather
explode,
have,
son?
Pulisic, the collision Pulisic had that we've all seen, or the, I don't know, what's a good concussion? Oh, the Tua hit where he's on the on the ground and his fingers are all like exorcist out.
Yeah, and his medulla oblongata is like firing off.
I'm taking the Pulisic hit, man. I'm rolling the dice with my boys. I got two of them. I only got one brain.
I think I'm taking the Tua hit.
And let's be honest. That brain is it's minimally functional at best. You listen to the show. You know what's going on up here. So
I'm with you. Maybe it should just be a question we ask our guests today.
So I guess I'm in the 6.1%. Are you taking the?
Oh yeah, I voted. I took the concussion.
You're taking the concussion. All right, Marcus is with the 93.9%. That's cool, man. You guys value.
I'm gonna go with the rupture, man. They do wonders with those titanium implants now. So
is that a real thing, or is that just something Tennessee fans say?
Yeah. No, I.
You can literally have big brass balls.
I've been told that you have to put something in there to balance it out.
I don't think that's true. What, like your equilibrium is off if you only have one ball?
I'll do some research.
Do your research.
I think your other one would hang down low. Wobble to and fro.
Well, you've only had one, man. It's going to hang
in the
middle.
Throw it over your shoulder like an old banjo.
All right. All right. Moving along. Have you guys read the Athletic profile on Danny White and his hiring philosophies?
I was starting to, and then I've discovered something you guys have got to watch. I've got sucked into a documentary series earlier. But no, I have not, Russ.
I would highly recommend it. I think you can subscribe to the Athletic for, I think they've got one of those like dollar things where you can use some, and this is worth a buck to read, whatever it is. But Andy Staples from The Athletic has written a profile on Tennessee Athletics Director Danny White titled, "Is Danny White the best AD at hiring coaches from Buffalo to Tennessee? He just might be." And it talks about Lance Leipold and how he found him when Danny White was at Buffalo. Very interesting story there. And, of course, Leipold has worked out well. Talks about him hiring Nate Oates, who was an assistant on Bobby Hurley's staff there when Hurley left. It was kind of like rolling the dice. You're going to hire a guy to be your head coach at Buffalo, a MAC school, you know, D1 school that has never been a D1 head coach. He was coaching high school ball a couple of years ago. Obviously, like, he's very good, right?
Yeah, Leipold?
No, Nate Oates. Leipold and Leipold as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a pretty stellar track record.
And then, of course, it talks about Josh Heupel and how he gets to Central Florida. And first of all, he hired Scott Frost, you know, and you can, regardless of what happened to Scott Frost since, like when he was at Central Florida, he was a rock star, right? That's the reason he got the Nebraska job, is because he went 12-0 there and they claimed the national championship and it was a big marketing thing and everything. And so they hired him. And then he talked about how when, and it's pretty interesting because he talks about the just his general philosophy, but they talk about Heupel and everybody wanted the UCF job when Scott Frost left. And Danny White says there were retreads and everybody was and their brother wanted this job. I think they listed some of the names. I'm blanking on who he chose Heupel over, but like Heupel was kind of an afterthought. He said somebody told him that Heupel had taken Missouri's offense from like 100th nationally the year before he got there into the top 10. And Danny White's brother is on the staff at Mizzou, or was on the staff at Mizzou, and he called him up to get some background. And they said, yeah, like this guy has no discernible ego, but he is hyper competitive and the players love him. And so they hired Heupel. And then it talks about hiring Heupel here. This is the really interesting part because he does acknowledge that he talked to other sitting head coaches for our job. Does not mention names. I think the only one we know for sure that he talked to, the sitting head coach, was James Franklin, right?
I believe so.
And then, of course, Tony Elliott. But he says that all the interviews he did when he first got to Tennessee, and remember, this is like a whirlwind, right? This is within a week of taking the job. He's interviewing all these people. He said that he kept coming back to the same thought, quote, "This dude wouldn't even come close to Josh." That's interesting, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I mean, what you just said, the no discernible ego, and partner that with being hyper competitive.
Yeah. So he said he was very embarrassed about it, you know, taking his coach from, first of all, he felt bad about leaving UCF. He felt guilty about that. And he's like, really, now I'm going to take their coach. And he knows everybody involved really well. So he was setting up a Zoom call between Heupel and Plowman and the AD at UCF and all this stuff. And that's how it all went down. But they asked him, Staples did, basically, what's your process for hiring a coach? And we'll go into that here a little bit later. Let's circle back to this because we got to take a quick break here and get Christopher Gabriel on. But very interesting stuff. Banner Dan soaking up all the love and the enjoyment. Man, I'm glad Tony Elliott told us no. And I hope that's true, that Danny was thinking, this guy doesn't even come close to Josh. I would like to think that our athletics director is smart enough to realize that even if Tony Elliott had expressed more interest in the job, that he had a better guy at the place he was coming from. But I guess we'll never know. We'll never know. Stay with us. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, coming up next on many of these fine fan-run affiliates. The Drive continues. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Fan-run radio, The Drive continues. Let's go out west and bring in our guy, Christopher Gabriel from KMJ Fresno, in on the Big Orange Phillies phone line. CG, what's up, brother?
Hey, my man, good to talk to you. And Bear, Marcus, but cloudy, rainy day out here, my kind of day. Anything new? Anything new going on in the world of college football? Anything?
I mean, just controversy, chaos, collusion. Everybody's upset. Nobody's happy. Nobody's happy with the postseason. You notice that, Christopher? We were talking about this somebody yesterday. All the other – and we're not ragging on college football. I think all of us here love college football. It's our favorite sport. But no other sport has postseason problems, right? The NFL playoffs, they might expand every now and then, but it's the playoffs. You got a couple of byes. You got the Super Bowl. It is what it is. The NCAA tournament might expand every now and then, but it's the freaking tournament. You got the four brackets. You got a Final Four. It is what it is. College football, for some reason, just every 10 years, we decide, you know what, we're going to do something completely different in the postseason. and it never gets any better. Well, I guess it gets better, but people are still always unhappy. Oh, you know what it should be is this. We should do this. And you know, we're going to change. We're going to expand the playoff here in a little while. But even that's kind of convoluted, right? You got the top four conference champions getting the byes, and then you got two more conference champions, and then six at-large bids. It's just convoluted. Why can't we get this right, CG?
Well, you know, you lay out a good argument here, and a lot to unpack there. I think one of the problems the baseline, we love college football, but one of the problems with the postseason as it applies to the playoffs in college football versus every other sport in college and in the professional ranks is that in fact, not only in this country, but all over the world. I mean, from here to Nepal, the value is put on wins. It's not put on losses. It's put on wins. And then with the college football selection committee and all of that, they move the goalposts. And you know me well enough by now to know, and your audience, and hello to everybody in East Tennessee and the great Southeast, you know me well enough by now to know that I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm not that guy. But unfortunately, some of that has crept in based upon what I've seen over the last couple of weeks. Let's start with this. I've had executive director of the college football playoff, executive director Bill Hancock, on my show. We talked for almost 25 minutes. At no point, and this is a learned man, This is a good man. He's a high-quality man. At no point in my discussion with Mr. Hancock did he ever bring up any notion about where losses rank. And it's funny because I think one of the things that we need to take out of the recipe here are all the other fans that try to go all over social media and act like experts, like they all know what's going on. I've had people talk to me saying, no, you don't understand. No. You don't understand. I've talked to the guy who is at the head of the food chain that created this. I have a better idea through him of how this works than you, Mr. Georgia Bulldog fan or Crimson Tide fan or whomever the hell you are. I have a better idea how this works than you do. So go and do something else. The problem here is that we are focusing on the wrong things. We are focusing on, well, is there, you know, he lost by 25 to them and 13 to them and 18 to them. And, you know, Bama lost two games by 6 points. Look, since when didn't common opponents matter? Since when didn't head-to-head matter? If you take out, forgive me for bouncing around a little bit here, but I've been salivated to talk to you. If you take out the divisions this year, which some conferences did, you would have a three-way tie for second place with Tennessee, Alabama, and LSU. Now, I'm going to go slowly here for any Georgia fans or South Carolina fans or Clemson fans or anybody else in the audience. You have a three-way tie for second. Russ, play with me here. With a three-way tie for second, how would they determine who got second place?
Three-way tie for second. Well, you go to head-to-head first.
What would be the first tiebreaker? What would be the first tiebreaker, Russ?
It's always head-to-head, right?
Always head-to-head, Russ.
Always.
Always. It's that way in every NCAA sport, from yachting to bowling to gymnastics. It's always that. It's that way professionally. The de-emphasizing of head-to-head here has been positively mind-boggling. The fact that they're trying to, committee members and otherwise, are trying to say, well, you know, yeah, you beat an average Alabama team this year. A couple of weeks ago, suddenly Alabama was average. Now there's a chance they can get into the playoff. Suddenly, it's not just that you beat Alabama. Well, you only beat them by three. And I think I heard Chris Fowler say about Florida State and LSU. Well, of course, it's appropriate that LSU sits where they do because of the game that they played against Florida State early in the year. So a loss early in the year to Florida State, that matters. But the 27-point win over LSU in week five, I think it was it week five?
Yes.
Or week four, that doesn't matter anymore. The goalpost shifting on this has been mind-boggling. And I am left with, as the guy that is not conspiracy guy, I am left with the idea that, you know, and everybody in your audience is going, well, welcome to the party, CG, that the agenda here is for the brand. Tennessee is a brand, but Tennessee's brand has taken a hit for the 12 years prior to Josh Heupel getting here. And if they just did it with consistency, we as college football fans would like it. But the problem is, and this is really, finally, Russ, I'm getting to my point. This sport has a serious integrity problem. And the integrity problem, or lack thereof, the integrity problem comes from the people who are running the show. The College Football Playoff Executive Committee, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Because they are coming up with such nonsense. I mean, I haven't even gotten to the Rose Bowl yet, where we have cluster language. Who knew we had cluster language where Ohio State can come out, which was started a couple of days earlier from Kirk Herbstreit, painting a scenario that, well, you know, they were there last year. And they clearly don't want to go this year. They didn't really stop their whole allotment. Go back and look at the history of the Rose Bowl. How many times Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, USC, and several others went to the Rose Bowl multiple times, sometimes two, three, four times in a row. They never had a problem with that before. Now suddenly, you know, we went there last year. We didn't really have a good time, and our fans didn't want to go. So we need to go to the cluster clause, because we feel that we have a right to get to Miami or to South Florida over Tennessee. This whole thing feels dirty. It stinks.
It is.
It smells. And Tennessee has gotten the shaft too many times in the span of 2 weeks, much less beyond that, Russ.
It doesn't feel and smell dirty. It just is dirty. Here's the thing, Chris, is you just got to be clear on the rules. Like, that's – we can't – the fact that we're learning about the cluster, like, this week – after we had all kind of figured, okay, this is the scenario. Like, we're going to the Orange Bowl or the Cotton Bowl. And then you learn about the cluster, which, I mean, if LSU wins, you could go to the Citrus Bowl. It's like, just tell me the rules. Every other sport, you know the rules going in. You know the rules before the season. And, hey, man, if head-to-head isn't emphasized, that's all right. Just tell me. Because you know good and well, Chris, that – if we get to next year and the shoe's on the other foot, head-to-head. It doesn't matter about these losses. Head-to-head trumps all. Oh, yeah, well, why didn't it this year? You know? So,
Russ, I got to ask you, and it's a rhetorical question. Why do we play the games? You know, why do we play? Herm Edwards said
to win. Yeah.
Yeah, you play to win the game. You play to win the game. And so you go out and you win the game, and that apparently isn't good enough. Well, you won the game, but you see, the problem is you had that South Carolina loss. Only in college football do we get into the minutia, the nuance, and the finite details that are either real or imagined of why a team should be knocked behind another. I have read or counted up between college football, quote-unquote, experts and coaches, nine of them, Russ, nine, and I don't want to leave Bear and Marcus out, nine of them, Russ, Bear, Marcus, that have said, it's this simple. Tennessee beat Alabama. Tennessee has a better strength of schedule. Tennessee has a better resume. Tennessee should be above Alabama. That's not Vol fans whining or crying. That is looking at the criteria that has been set up by this college football playoff organization practically from day one. And now you're saying, well, hold on a second. Yeah, we got to go back to that South Carolina loss. You know, it's a little bit like the Heisman discussion. Before we get to that, them people coming out saying, well, you're not the same team now with Hendon Hooker. Okay, so in other words, what happens if Bama gets the Sugar Bowl and then Bryce Young decides, I'm opting out? Well, they're a different team without Bryce Young. Are they going to pull their Sugar Bowl bid? No, I don't think they are. This notion that, you're a different team. There's nowhere in the language. Somebody dig it up and find it. Yeah. Because, again, I'm going to say it again, Russ. I had Bill Hancock on. The man never said a word about qualifying losses or injuries, and yet somehow those are being used as points of reference to knock Tennessee down, and it's flat-out dumpster fire garbage.
I actually think that's the best argument against Tennessee. I might not like it, but I get it. It's correct. Tennessee is not the same team without Hendon Hooker. If you would just tell me that, I mean, we could get into a different argument, but that's hard for me to refute. Don't tell me, though, that Tennessee's loss to South Carolina is worse than Alabama's losses. Let's not get into that minutia when you have head-to-head. If you want to tell me, CG, that Tennessee is not the same team now that beat Alabama, okay, we can have that conversation. Like, you could talk to me about that. You can't make up reasons why Tennessee's not better than Alabama, though, based on other games when we have a head-to-head game.
Yeah, I'm going to take a partial, respectful disagreement with you on – I agree. Are they a different team without Hendon Hooker? Yes. But if Tennessee would have gone out against another common opponent, Vanderbilt, with Alabama beat them 55-3, I mean, if we're going to get into scoring here, so Tennessee goes out in a driving rain and a miserable night in a high school football stadium in Nashville, and they bring their backup quarterback in who hasn't started all year, and they go out and they win 56-0. And basically they're pounding them on the ground, much less anything else. That, to me, speaks volumes about where the team at least was at that night, and that's one point of reference we have. I recall a couple of years ago, Russ, I believe it was Ohio State, maybe not their second string, maybe it was their third string quarterback that they won a national championship with. I mean, I just I want consistency, Russ. I mean, you and I know we're on the same page with that. Give me the rules. Give me the parameters that we are playing within and stop shifting them to fit your own narrative, which changes week to week.
Yeah. I mean, like college basketball, man, you get into it, and we can argue about bad seeding and everything. At the end of the day, Tennessee lost to Michigan. We didn't show up and play our best. It hurts, but I can live with that. I'm not going to be mad at any sort of outside forces for screwing Tennessee out of, you know, the seeding or anything. Tennessee should have beaten Michigan, man. That's our fault. But this is just bizarre because you don't know what the rules are, and we don't know what the rules are going to say next week, which is really frustrating. But CG, what do you think about it, man? We visit with Christopher Gabriel, KBJ Fresno, this afternoon on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Orange Bowl versus the Cotton Bowl. I think we all prefer an Orange Bowl matchup with Clemson. That's just a very attractive matchup for a number of reasons. But I also find it hard to be upset about a trip to the Cotton Bowl. If that's what ends up happening, CG, we went 10-2 on a year when everybody thought it was good, like 8-4, 9-3 at best. Like, you got to have some perspective, right?
Absolutely. If we end up in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, in Jerry World, listen, we will all be frustrated. We will all deal with that frustration. And I really believe the next day we need to put it all behind us and say, regardless of who the opponent is, we have gone, as you just pointed out, Russ, we have gone in year two of the era of Heupel, and we are 10-2, and we are in a, what is it, December, January 1st, January 2nd bowl game. I don't care if they play the game at 7 a.m. That is an insane improvement and a statement on Josh Heupel, a statement on what he has done, where we are at, where the program is going. It confirms that Danny White is probably the greatest athletic director in this country when you look at his history of who he hires and how he organizes and how he puts so much value on things on the outside of the actual playing field. Yeah, the Cotton Bowl may not be what we want, but are we saying that, you know what, I saw one guy say, one guy wrote to me, he said, we should reject it. What are you, nuts? Are you nuts? We're not going to, Notre Dame did that years ago. Notre Dame would reject the bowl because he thought it was beneath them. That's not what we're going to do. That's not what we are, where we are at. This is a journey. We are on this journey. And if we, you know, if we get screwed out of the Orange Bowl, it's something that was completely out of our hands. And there are more than enough. Forget the other fans. Forget what other fans have to say, because they don't have a place at the table. Athletic administrators, coaches, and the better writers around the country, they understand what's going on and they understand what's happened here. We should be in the Orange Bowl. For that matter, we should be in the Sugar Bowl. But beyond that, if it's the Cotton Bowl, I am all in. I am all in.
CG, last thing here, looking forward, as Jeremy Pruitt would say, what are your thoughts after seeing Joe Milton back in action? What are your thoughts on Tennessee moving forward into the offseason with Joe Milton at quarterback? Are you satisfied there, or do you think that Josh Heupel needs to see if he can get somebody better to run his offense next season?
You know, that's a great – I feel like I should say That's a great question. I don't know right now around the country that there is a better physical specimen, a better arm, and somebody who can combine that with what I'm going to call it field awareness, being able to get out and run, a better player suited for this offense than Joe Milton. Having said that, I also don't know every quarterback that's available. And my suspicion, Russ, because Josh Heupel is such a great coach, he sees the field literally and figuratively much better than I think any of us ever imagined. I got to believe he's thinking with his coaching staff, I like where we're at. I like what Joe gives us. I like what he brings to the table. But such and such player is lurking at Oklahoma, at West Virginia, at Washington, that if there's a player out there that he believes can do the offense, run the offense a little better, I would think that he's going to maybe try and go after somebody. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I know that we have Nico coming in. I get all that. But let's be serious. Being a five-star recruit doesn't mean that you're going to come walking into Tennessee, not anymore, and start this year. So my guess, Russ, and I hope he does this, is he's going to look around and just see who's out there, because clearly the best of the best, if you are a quarterback and certainly a wide receiver or running back, we are now a destination once again. And any quarterback worth his weight in wanting to run a championship offense is going to want to come to Tennessee.
Did you read the Athletic piece today about Danny Yes. White and his hiring process? I kind of gathered that from your earlier comments.
Yeah, I did. And you know, he's, I mean, Danny White, you'll recall it was on this very show, as far as I'm concerned, one of the great sports shows, and I mean that, in this country.
It's okay.
It was on your show that you brought me on, and you asked me point blank what I thought. And I, if you had the tape, I flat out said, I think this is a major game changer for the entire athletic department. And what I've seen with Danny White, and I mentioned it on social media a little bit earlier today, Russ, is that think about the things that have happened in Neyland and around the program, from Dixieland to like to the letters. The man understands the pulse of any college football, basketball, athletic department, anything is driven by the fans, the fan base, the season ticket holders, the alums, the staff members, and so on. He gets that better than anybody I've seen, and he incorporates things. So he doesn't leave anything to chance. And I believe that anybody who's, I remember people say, oh, I don't know about this Danny White. Just hold off. Take a breath, push away from your computer. This guy is going to bring some greatness to this athletic department. I think that Josh will get together with Danny and say, what do you think? You know, because, you know, Danny White sees the field. And by the way, one quick thing, you and I both know, fans who are saying Greg Sankey is probably not, but he hates the Vols. Please, put your screws back in your head when you say that. Greg Sankey wants a bigger check coming to the SEC. It benefits him and this whole conference for Tennessee to go to a better bowl. So you better believe that Greg Sankey, along with Danny White, have been on that phone, if not on a plane, to go talk to those guys. So, yeah, I think that's a great article. I think Danny White, as far as I'm concerned, is the best athletic director in the nation.
Christopher, you are the best radio guest in the nation. You're in the conversation, my friend.
Well, you know what? Kirk Herbstreit, if he has something to say about it, I'm going to be knocked out of that conversation.
We just wind you up and let you rip, man. It's fantastic. Appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for jumping on here. Anything else you care to add before we let you get back to whatever it is you're doing in Fresno this afternoon?
I just want to say happy holidays. Hope everybody in your audience had a great Thanksgiving and looking forward to Christmas and New Year's. And just for everybody to try to stay positive, we all – listen, I'm as sarcastic and cynical as anybody.
Yeah.
But if the decision comes down where we end up in the Cotton Bowl, let's get frustrated. Be, you know, when I was an actor, Russ, if I lost a role or in this business, when I would lose a job, I wouldn't get to a job, I'd give myself 1 hour to be pissed off, frustrated, angry, and then move on. And if we can do that as a fan base, the bottom line is we need to support the team, support Josh Heupel, support this staff, and support this university and move forward as one, because if they, wherever they go, I believe they're going to win this bowl game, but this team needs our support unified, not scattered.
No doubt. And you were the subject of an interesting piece of journalism today. I linked to it on my Twitter profile. The fine folks over at Barrett Sports Media did a little profile on you and your rise to radio superstardom, your trip through basketball, being recruited by Ray Mears to your theater career and now radio. Folks want to hear more about Christopher Gabriel's life and times, go read that. It was very good, man. That was a fairly in-depth piece they did on you, CG.
Yeah, the interview lasted about, it was, thank you for mentioning that. I appreciate that, Russ. Now, the interview, I don't know, I got the phone call a couple of days ago and they said, you know, we want to do a feature on you. And, you know, everything you just said, you know, from being a basketball recruit to being a stage actor, you know, here in England and Scotland and then back in radio. And with the interview lasted 90 minutes and it was pretty in depth. And I appreciated Jason Barrett, Barrett Sports Media, Barrett News Media, and certainly Jim Kryans, who's a very successful author. He's written 3 books on baseball. I really appreciated that. Yeah. It's if anybody wants to learn why they like me a lot or why they hate me more, go and read that, the links on Russ's page. It was fun doing that, Russ. It was a lot of fun.
CG, appreciate you, my man. We will do it again soon.
You're the best, brother. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Love you too, bud. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Check out Big Orange Phillies in Hall, 6625 Maynardville Pike. Pool, darts, karaoke, live music on the weekends, football all over the place. Go check them out. Full menu online at BigOrangePhillies.com. We got to take a quick time out. The Drive continues. Your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
A good night. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Welcome back. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Bear, what did you learn?
Chris has definitely not lowered his caffeine intake.
He's so intense, docile, man. Doesn't have any wishy-washy. Doesn't have any opinions.
I mean, I agree with just about everything he said. So, I mean, it is what it is this year. So,
it is
getting screwed
what
over.
It is. Let's go to the phones.
No, the
here.
One thing, we do belong in the Sugar Bowl. That's where we should be going. I mean, regardless of the 11 a.m. thing, that's where the real screw job happened, Russ.
Yeah, probably. We screwed ourselves, though, man. The biggest – I don't want to go back through it. Do we have to go back through it?
No.
Can we just go forward?
No.
I don't want to go back through it. You want to go back through it, Trey? Marcus, whatever your name is?
Sure. Marcus, yeah. Yeah.
Trey's next.
I don't necessarily want to go back through it again, but I know we probably will eventually.
Yeah, so why do it now if it's going to happen again? Because it's going to happen.
I'm assuming Selection Sunday is probably when we're going to be dealing with this.
Not go back through it again. No. Let's go to Trey. Trey, you're on the Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Trey just dropped. You called me him, and he got offended.
Let's try Martin. Martin is up next. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Russell.
Hey, what's up, Bart?
Russell, who's the tight end we're looking at out of Shorter College in Georgia?
Oh, man, I don't have the name. I know who you're talking about. He's one of these – he's like 6'7", 250, big old boy. I know they love him, and he's got several other good offers as well.
Yes.
Let me find that name for you, Martin.
And I'm hearing that we might try to get it on Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback?
Yes.
I thought he'd used up all his all his eligibility.
Martin just blew my mind. Does he have another year? Where'd you hear this, Martin?
I heard from one of your callers. He said Tony Basilio said it. But I thought his eligibility was up too.
So we're going with one of our callers and Basilio as the sources.
Yes.
Oh my God! I mean, I'm just kidding. No, I mean that would be. How does that strike you, Bear? I mean, a guy who already knows Heupel's system coming in.
The one that's intriguing to me is the kid that hit the portal this afternoon out of Virginia.
Quarterback?
Who is he, Bear?
Yeah. Let me look up his name real quick.
Kyle Morlock is the tight end from Shorter. 6'7", 250. Florida's after him. Auburn was after him before the coaching change there, and LSU has also offered him. So this is
– it's
they want him.
It's Virginia quarterback Brennan Armstrong, and he's a grad
Brennan
transfer.
Brennan Armstrong?
Yeah.
How big is he?
Not sure. He threw for
– how big a boy is he, Bear?
4,500 yards and 31 touchdowns in 2021. He did have a 7-touchdown and 12-interception ratio this past season. It kind of
–
the wheels kind of fell off, and then they had that horrible, horrific tragedy.
Well, I appreciate you giving me that boy's name. I was kind of worried about it.
I've already – what did I say his name? Kyle Morlock.
Yes, and what's the quarterback's name?
Armstrong.
Brandon what?
Armstrong. You remember that. Armstrong's a good name
Armstrong
for a quarterback.
I remember that. Thank you, boys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you, Martin.
Russell.
Portal season.
I do have some information on Gabriel.
Yeah.
According to OU Daily, he has not committed necessarily to returning next season. He does, in fact, have 2 years of eligibility left.
Oh!
So it sounds like, I mean, it is a possibility.
I wonder what that conversation is like.
According to this article, it says, although offensive coordinator Jeff Lebby says he expects and hopes Gabriel will be back.
It's a final now. Japan has beaten Spain at the World Cup. A huge upset. Japan beat Spain and Germany in the World Cup.
Means the Germans are going home. Correct?
Well, the Germans have... Yeah. They're tied 4-4 in points, it says.
Yeah, they would have to...
They'd have to get an extra goal, I think, on Croatia.
So Japan wins...
Or Costa Rica, excuse me.
They would have to win that game. Germany is must-win situation.
I don't know. The TV said earlier that if the score held, the Japan and Spain would go through.
Yeah, because Spain has a +7 goal difference. They beat Costa Rica 7-0. So, yeah, I think Germany's done.
I know we're out of time in this hour, but I definitely want to circle back to it. The changes FIFA's contemplating with the groups.
Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
So you're watching the game.